came in the house, she had the box. Rev saw it. Rev said, "What, another dress? So this is ridiculous. Three dresses in a week, another dress?" And she tells him, "I didn't want to buy this dress. The devil made me buy this dress." She said, "I was going down the street. I was minding my own business, singing to myself. I said, 'What you say, honey?' And the devil started following me, telling me how good I look." Red said, "I'm not going for that." He said, "Because every time you do something wrong, you blame it on the devil." So you blamed it on the devil when you ran the car under the side of the church. She told him, "It was the devil. You wasn't there. How do you know?" Said, "He grabbed that steering wheel out of my hand." Griff said, "Well, why didn't you step on the brake?" She tells him, "Because when he grabbed the steering wheel, I tried to kick him. I can't kick him and step on the brake at the same time." Said, "We had a big fight. That's why I was in the back seat when y'all got the call." Rev said, well, how'd the devil get you to buy the dress? She said, "I was going down the street, I was singing, 'What you say, honey?' Every day. And I heard the devil coming up behind me with tiptoeing. And I said to myself, 'I'm not going to look back because I know it's the devil.'" And then he sneaked up and leaned over my shoulder and said,
"Say, Mama, look at that dress in the window there." Said, "It's on sale. So that's your size, too. Got a lot of flowers. You know you'd like a lot of flowers. Why don't you treat yourself to that dress?"
I said, "Cut that out, devil. I ain't buying no dresses. You better leave me alone, honey."
Devil said, "Well, why don't you try it on? You can try it on. Rev will never know about you trying it on. It's free. They're not going to charge you nothing to try it on. You owe yourself a try on."
I said, "I'm not even trying it on, devil. I'm not even going to go in there and look at it." That's when the devil shoved me in the door. He said, "The devil shoved me in the door." I said, "Cut that out, devil." And he pushed me over to where the dress was. And he threatened me. And made me try it on. Then he pulled a gun. And made me sign your name to a check.
Rev said, "How come the devil's always making you do something for yourself? When's the devil going to do me a favor?"
She said, "I asked him about that. He said he did already. Devil said if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't even have a job."
I need to let you know that I got a little nervous. I got a little nervous when Bob assigned this topic of this sermon to me about a month ago. My entire experience is in the Christian Church, which is the organization, the fellowship, the brotherhood that Bethany Christian is associated with. So for 30-plus years, my entire church experience is with the Christian Church. 5 years of Christian college, which was a school affiliated with the Christian Church. And so the reason I got nervous was because I know it's a blanket statement, but I'm going to make it. By and large, we in the Christian church, we don't talk about the devil. We don't talk about demons. Bob used a term last week when he was talking about the angels and being involved in our lives. He used the term mystical. He said, "This might be a little mystical for some of you." Well, if you had trouble hanging on last week, you're going to have a lot of trouble this week. But here's the interesting thing. The interesting thing is, in my study over the last 3 weeks, I've been amazed. I'm amazed at how freely biblical writers and the people who lived in biblical times, how freely and easily they reference the devil and demons and their influence and impact in their lives. Not quite as freely as our friend Geraldine, okay? But in general, when you read the Old Testament and the New Testament, the writers and the people involved in those situations, the devil is a regular part of what's going on in their lives. We don't talk about it like that. Let me rephrase that. We don't talk about it like that. You might come from a background a different church background where you do. But we don't. And so today, here's what I thought we would do, at least this is what I thought we would do before some events that took place this morning. So now I just need to tell you to just hang on, because I have no idea what's about to happen. Yeah, isn't that great? I thought we'd look at some classic moments in the Bible where the devil shows up, where the devil is center stage. And then after that, how's that? All right. First one, the garden. Genesis chapter 3. Pew Bible page 3. Okay? Adam and Eve have been placed in this, Adam and Eve have been placed in this garden. And their job, their role, their task is to tend the garden. Not work it, but tend it, take care of it. And they have everything that they are going to need to sustain them. And they have one rule. One rule. Not 100, not 1,000, one. There is one tree in the middle of the garden that God says you may not eat from. But all this other stuff is yours. Take what you want. Eat as much as you want. Don't touch this one tree. You see all that over there? Eat. Enjoy. It's yours. And that over there? Don't touch this one tree. And Satan arrives in the guise of a serpent, begins a conversation with Eve and Adam too, but we'll go with Eve. Adam's there. Come on. You know that. Satan twists the words of God, twists those instructions. Eve falls to the temptation, eats the apple, gives some to Adam, and they're out. Okay? Satan, alive, well, and working in the lives. There are only two people on earth. And he's there. Next, Job. Pew Bible, page 496. Now, there are lots of issues in this that we're about to read. We don't have time for them this morning. We'll just look at, this part. Job chapter 1, starting at verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the works of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and surely he will curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well. Then everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, on that same page in the Pew Bible. Verse 1. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Then get this. "And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Again, in school, I had a 4-hour class on Job, meaning we met 4 times a week, 1 hour a day, for an entire semester to study the life of Job. And we probably took a month on this first part about Satan and does he have the authority. We're not going to talk about that. That's a whole other sermon series. That's a whole other time. Here's what we need to get. Satan, alive, well, roaming, looking, lurking, and he knew about an individual named Job. He knew the individual situation of Job's life when confronted by God. Luke 4, Pew Bible, page 1017. 1017, Luke 4. This has been an interesting verse this week at our house, because last week in our elementary and intermediate children's department, the lesson came from Luke chapter 4, the temptations of Christ. So every night at bedtime, my 6-year-old has wanted to read from Luke chapter 4. So I've been reading this passage a couple of times this week. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all the authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I wish. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. When you go up against God, you probably better be on your best. Did you see what Satan did there? First off, he appealed to the physical nature of Jesus. We talk about Jesus being God, God's Son. We look at his miracles. We think of the amazing things that he did. But many times we miss that he was a man. And Luke is very specific that he had been in the desert for 40 days and he had fasted for those entire 40 days. So guess what? At the end of 40 days, the man, Jesus, was probably pretty hungry. And Satan shows up and says, you hungry? How about some bread? Just do it. The physical nature. And Jesus says no. The second temptation is what I thought about purpose. Purpose. Because Jesus came to this earth ultimately to be the sacrifice, to be a perfect human sacrifice so that our sins would be washed away. But his purpose was also to spread the good news, to teach people about God, to win people. And Satan says, all you want is yours. It's a shortcut. It's a shortcut for what Jesus is going to have to do for the next 3 years. Satan is saying, I can give it to you like that. Again, can he? Did he have that authority? I don't know. That's a whole nother sermon, whole nother lesson. The idea is, he appealed to the purpose that Jesus knew was in front of him. Jesus again said no. Finally, the third time, a high mountain, at the top of the temple in Jerusalem, throw yourself down. This is pride. This is pride. If you're the Son of God, this is what's going to happen. If you truly are who you say you are, then if you jump off of this temple, nothing's going to happen to you. Is that really who you are? It's a good way to show me. If you just, because, you know, that'll happen. And Jesus, once again, resists the temptation. Interestingly enough, I hope you've heard this. If not, here it is. The three ways that Jesus combated those temptations. Scripture. Quoted Scripture to the devil every time. Don't miss this part. On the third temptation, the devil also quoted Scripture. The devil's alive. He is working. Even the Son of God. And boy, did he bring his best game at that moment. And he quoted Scripture. Last one. Matthew chapter 6. Page 960 in your pew Bible. I got to tell you, I almost missed this one. As I've gotten older, bottom line, what I've noticed is I'm not able to remember how long ago something happened. I go, was that like 6 months ago? And it's been 2 years? You know, I lose that. I've lost that. And I think I'm going to be okay, but we'll see. A while ago, in one of Bob's sermons, he suggested, told us, challenged us to do the Lord's Prayer every morning before we started the day. Do the Lord's Prayer once a day. Anybody else remember that? Yeah, that's all right. He did. Yeah. And so, and not every day, please understand, but on the mornings when I journal, I've tried to do that. I've tried to write out Matthew 6, 9 through 13, every morning before I start whatever else I'm going to write, whatever else I'm studying, whatever else I'm looking at. I try to start with the Lord's Prayer. So I probably did the Lord's Prayer like 3 or 4 mornings after Bob had come in and assigned this topic before I kind of went, wait a minute. Here are those verses. They're also going to be up on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I understand that we've probably, many of us in the room, have learned the wording a little different. Probably a lot of us have learned it when we were little in King James. Okay, so the wording's a little different. But this is from the NIV. And interestingly enough, the NIV ends it with, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, whenever Bob had us start doing that, I probably did this for a couple of weeks and suddenly went, wait a minute. Evil one. Why does the NIV say evil one and not just evil? Which is how I learned it. As a kid, well, you don't want a Greek lesson, do you? No, you really don't. I don't want a Greek lesson. I am not qualified to give a Greek lesson. Something about the preposition denotes gender. Okay? So most scholars believe that it should be evil one. The best way to interpret the original Greek is evil one. Now, why is that? What do we care? Well, here's why. Because when the disciples looked at Jesus and said, "Hey, teach us how to pray. Jesus, we're a little confused on this prayer thing. Could you teach us how to pray?" "Yes, I can." And the model prayer, some call it the model prayer, some call it the Lord's Prayer, whatever. In the model prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is telling people, "But deliver us from the evil one." In the perfect prayer that Jesus gives to his disciples and all of us, he references Satan. How freely the Old Testament people, the Old Testament writers, reference the impact and influence that Satan and demon has in their lives. What about us? What about us? You know, needless to say, it is an interesting time around these parts to be an Indianapolis Colts fan. I'm not saying anything. A couple weekends ago, Labor Day weekend, we had the privilege of being with some friends who we hadn't seen in a while, and they live in Cincinnati. Now, let me tell you, it was a glorious time to be sitting around a table and be basically from the greater Indianapolis area and be an Indianapolis Colts fan sitting amongst these poor, depressed Bengals fans. All right? What a difference a couple weeks make. A couple weeks ago, Bob referenced Peyton Manning. I've heard it. You've heard it. I don't want to debate it. Oh, my word. This is not an NFL lesson. You think I'm not qualified to do Greek. I'm definitely not qualified to do NFL. But I've heard over and over and over, Peyton talked about being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time because of his work ethic. The hours he spends looking at film of his upcoming opponent are legendary. I've heard it referenced that there are times when he comes to the line of scrimmage and looks across the ball and sees the other team lining up in a defense, he might know what they're going to do better than they do. How amazing. He is amazing because of his preparation for his opponent. He is amazing because of the preparation he takes to prepare for his adversary. Okay, this kind of came all together for me in a very weird thing. A couple weeks ago, and no offense to any hunters in the room. A couple weeks ago, we were sitting around on a Sunday afternoon looking at the Sunday paper. And one of my children was looking at the Dunham's Sporting Goods store ad. And I don't remember how it came up. But the question came up of what this is. Now, for those of you who can't see, this is a bottle of deer urine. Don't you think it was funny when I went to Dunham's and asked for this? I am amazed at the steps some people will take to outwit their opponent. Here's another verse. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him standing firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. The devil, a roaring lion. Finally, be strong in the Lord and new verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I don't know where you are. I'll go back to Bob's mystical word. I don't know where you land on all of this. Angels last week, the devil and the demons this week. But here is the bottom line. The bottom line is, the Bible is very clear that Satan is alive and working in our world, in our realm and in the heavenly realm. He is not some fictitious character that is dressed in red and carries a pitchfork. He is not on one shoulder and an angel on another. He is absolutely real. He has charge of his demons, and they are working to mess us up. It is very clear. We know what Satan's goals are. We absolutely do. On your bulletin, they are this. Number one, he absolutely does not want you or me to do anything which grows or develops our personal relationship with God. Here's what he wants. He wants you. He doesn't want you here on Sunday mornings. Absolutely. But bottom line is, what he'd really prefer is that you just come and go home. And whatever you hear, whatever you see, whatever touches your heart, it doesn't do any good as soon as you leave the property. Number two, he absolutely does not want me or you to do anything which grows or develops God's kingdom here on earth. Oh my word. He doesn't want you to do anything, but he certainly doesn't want you to do anything that causes someone else to want to know about God. Oh, no, he doesn't want that at all. And number three, he absolutely does not want you or me to spend eternity with God. Oh no, he doesn't want that at all. He doesn't want that at all. So I don't know what it looks like in your life, but I know that Satan will do anything he can to keep you and I ineffective. Ineffective in our own growth, ineffective in challenging someone else to grow, and absolutely ineffective because he does not want us to spend eternity with his adversary. Not at all. Not at all. I saw it first in Bob's September article, Bugle article, I'm sorry. And over the last 2 weeks, in different wording, he's asked this question. But here it is. Would it change the way we live if we were constantly aware that it is more to life than meets the eye? The folks who lived in Bible times, the writer of the Bible letters and books, are very clear that Satan was alive and working in their lives. He was their adversary. He did not want them to grow in a relationship. They were very clear about that. What are we clear about? I'm not. Let's just talk. This is not on there. Oh, the signers are going to hate me second service. I had an awful day Wednesday. I couldn't get my brain going. Things were great Tuesday. Monday and Tuesday were awesome. Wednesday just stunk. I couldn't get anything going. Just kind of looking around. Do you think maybe Satan? Well, I don't know. What do you think? Is it possible that he was like, oh, I don't want a sermon about me. Preach about Jesus and preach about love and preach about, don't bring me into this. I don't want anybody to know about me. But did I think, oh, this could be Satan? No, I went, man, this is a bummer day. Well, he was very specific in Job's life. So here it comes. What's he doing in your life to trip you up? What's he doing in your life to keep you ineffective? You got money problems? You got too much money? Health? How's your parenting going? How's your marriage? Because Satan will do anything he can to mess with you, to mess with your kids, to mess with all the extended family that's around you. Oh, hey, he's there. I don't know where you are on this. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says he is alive. He is prowling like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Don't raise your hands. Anybody feel devoured lately? If Peyton showed up and went, dude, let's play football today. By the way, I'll have no need for this after second service. My question is this. Do we know who our adversary is? Do we know who's trying to mess us up? Do we even acknowledge that we have one? Let's pray. God, you love us. You care for us. You're all about us. You really are. But there is one who is not. He is not as powerful as you are. You are not equals. You want us to get that right off. That you and Satan are not equal enemies. But there is a being. There is a force. There is a presence in this world that does not want us to be with you. and he will strive at everything to make that happen. If he's willing, Lord, to attack your son while on earth, then by all means, he's going to come after us. And God, it might look different in each one of our lives. Okay. God, help us just be aware of our adversary. And help us rely on you and your word to fight back. In the name of Jesus, we pray that this morning. Amen. We're going to sing. We're going to sing a song called "It Is Well With My Soul." Which talks about ultimately God is with us, walking with us. You might need to say something publicly. You might need to pray. You might want to come down here. You might want to step to the back as you go out to the far left with the tables for prayer. You might want to just stand right where you are and cry out to the Lord. I don't know. But feel free to do that as we sing.